Romans chapter 8 is where we're going to spring out of in a moment. My children, those of you who have children, did your kids ever leave you perplexed? No, you weren't necessarily mad. You were just confused. I don't understand why you're acting like that. Have you ever been there before? Or maybe if you don't have children, have you ever encountered adults before where you're like, I'm not mad, I'm not sad, I'm not scared. I just don't understand what is happening inside of you, okay? And I have that sometimes with my kids. And one example, we call it sabotage. They're sabotaging themselves. Where every once in a while, just every once in a while, it doesn't happen often, they misbehave. That's a joke. But every once in a while, they do something they shouldn't do, and we give them a consequence, and it depends on the severity of the action, on how much of a consequence, and sometimes the consequences, we take some of their screen time away. Sometimes it's just a brief break, just 10, 15 minutes off, and they might have a couple hours of screen time available, and then they lost 15 minutes, and I'm always perplexed that they decide, because they lost 10 minutes of that screen time, okay, just think about that, 10 minutes out of, what, 120 if there's 2 hours, just 10 minutes, that they're going to continue in the behavior that lost in the 10 minutes, and they're going to increase a tantrum with it, and even if me coaching them, telling them you're going to lose more if this continues, they want that screen time, they still continue in the behavior. And I even almost plead with them, don't do this to yourself. You don't want to go all day without that screen, and they still keep going. And I'm confused, I'm perplexed by the behavior. Why would they want to do that to themselves? And we look at kids when they do that, and we think, well, we know why the brains aren't fully developed until they're 25. And if you're under 25, I'm sorry, just scientific. But doesn't mean you're not smart. But actually, if we're honest with ourselves as adults, we're also not that bright at times as well. Because we sometimes encounter some negative circumstances, and we react to it with a tantrum. And we start making things worse or just give up. And one of the things that we tend to say is we throw our hands up and say, why bother? I don't even know why I'm bothering trying to do this because it's not working. Why even bother doing that? And we do that sometimes, don't we? We do that in different areas of life. We do that sometimes with our finances. We tried hard to save. We tried hard to manage our money well, and we're still in debt. And so we throw our hands up and say, if I'm going to be in debt, I might as well plunge as far into debt as I can because I'm not getting out of this mess, so I might as well dig deeper. We do that in our relationships. We try to be nice. Have you ever tried to be nice and people still think you're mean? You know, I'm trying to be nice to these people, and they still think that I'm a jerk. And so I might as well be the best jerk I can because at least I know I'll succeed at that. So I just give up, throw up my hands. Why bother? We do that spiritually. You know, I'm doing this prayer thing, and I'm going to church, and I'm getting involved in ministry, and I'm studying the Word, and I still have problems, and it doesn't seem like I'm getting closer to Him. It doesn't seem like it's working, so why bother? Why pray? Why study my Bible? And we might act all innocent here, but I'm almost certain that many of us in this room have said these kind of things, where we try to minister and to influence someone and help them to grow in their faith, and they don't respond. Maybe they even start to backslide in their faith. And we throw our hands up and say, why bother try to do anything for anybody because they don't respond? But here's the issue. Many times when we don't see things improving, doing the right thing is the reason why they're staying where they are. Because if we decide to throw in the towel and give up, it will get worse. And as much as we think that child's not so bright losing all their screens over a 10-minute break, we keep messing ourselves up also. We make bad choice after bad choice after bad choice. And I know that we can't change the past. And I know to some extent we can't even change certain things about our present. But we have actually been given by God the ability to change our future. When you think about when Moses and I think Joshua both said this, to say, today I set before you a blessing and a curse, choose which one you want. And every day we make choices in which we're deciding which one of those we want, blessings or a curse. And I don't know about you, but I would like to have the blessings rather than the curses. But the reason why we throw up our hands and give up is because we've lost hope. We've lost hope that it'll work. We've lost hope that this will ever change. We've lost hope. And that's the reason why we're going to look at Romans 8 to start with, because Paul addresses this issue of hope. In verse 18, he says this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time," bad circumstances, okay, "are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed," a good future. Verse 19, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God," a good future. "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it," bad circumstances. "However, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of God," a good future. Verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now," bad circumstances. "And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly." Do you ever groan inwardly? This is hard. Bad circumstances. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies, a good future. "For in this hope we were saved." Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? "But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Oh, that last part's a doozy. Waiting for it with patience. Hope is nothing if everything's going right. Hope is when everything's not okay, and we have hope that it is going to be all okay someday. Verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit helps." Aren't you so thankful that the Spirit helps us in our weakness? "For we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good," a good future. "For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." Part of our future destiny is to be like him in character. "In order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified." A good future. Verse 31. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" It's not only a glorious future in the eternity. There are good things to come for us in this life in the form of the way that he works on our behalf. Verse 32. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." What, in the future? No, now the work of God is active in our lives. Verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation," negative things, right? "Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to the slaughter." Negative circumstances. "But no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We have every reason to be hopeful that if we live according to his instructions, according to biblical principles, it will go well for us in the eternal future. And it will be better for us in this earthly life Today I set before you blessing and a curse. Choose which you will have. And as we've been mentioning, as we pursue stability, and today we're looking to make more stable choices in our lives. As we've been walking through this, there's reasons to pursue stability. Some of it is self-serving, that us being stable in our choices makes a better future for ourselves. But it also makes us more capable to help lead others to that life. It's a mission of ours to impact. Don't we care about certain people in our lives? Even if we might not want it to go better for us, don't we at least want it to go better for them? In fact, that's our call, to go out there and bring this message of life to the people around us. And we're called to do that, to bring glory and honor to Him. What better way to honor Him than to make the right choices throughout our lives? And so if that's our desire, then that's what we're wanting to learn to do. And I've been thinking about my own life. And I don't know if you've ever done this journey of thinking about some of the choices that you've made in the past. That I am today where I am, the circumstances I'm in, and I am even the kind of person that I am today because of many choices that I've made in the past. Because when I think about whether if I wouldn't have made the choice to surrender my life to Christ, if I wouldn't have made the choice to leave Ohio and go to Bible college, I wouldn't have met my lovely wife if that was the case. And if I wouldn't have chosen to marry her, but chosen to marry somebody else. Those of you who are married, as much as you might be terrified of the person you are currently married to, imagine if you would have chosen somebody different. And then I chose certain jobs, and I chose certain churches to be a part of, and all of those things have influenced and changed my life. And we, right now today, are a collection of our choices. That's who we are. And we might choose to find that discouraging because, again, we cannot change the past. But if we want a better future, we can begin right now to make the choices that will give us a better future. And we can do that through preparation and management. Anybody like managing things? No? Anybody like getting prepared? Okay, some of us do, some of us don't. But if we learn to prepare and to manage, we will make better choices in the process, and the result will be a better future. But we have to wait patiently for that because, I don't know if you know this, if you start dieting today, tomorrow you will not have a flat stomach. If you lift some weights today, tomorrow, you're not going to have a gun show to show off. Not yet. It takes time for certain things to take effect. We need to prepare if we're going to have that strength, that ability. And the same obviously is true spiritually. We need to prepare if we're going to be spiritually ready to handle the things that come before us. And I don't know about you, Don. If you don't know, Don had surgery this past week, so he's recovering from surgery. I've had surgery. Many of you have had surgeries. And I'm sure Diane beats us all in the number of surgeries, but many of us have had surgeries. When that surgeon shows up, as much as there might be some insecurity about the competency of that surgeon, just because of our own trust, anybody have trust issues? I have some trust issues. We still hope that that surgeon didn't just wake up someday without going to school to learn to be a surgeon, didn't go through all the training and stuff, and didn't learn all that stuff. He just woke up one day and said, I think I want to carve someone up today and see how this goes. Now, we're hoping that that guy went through years of college education and went through years of observing another surgeon and learning that and learning how the technology and the tools work and how the body works, and then began to do under the direction of other surgeons, began to perform the surgeries until he knew how to do it competently. That's what we were hoping, right? Do you hope that if you have a surgeon? Same with a mechanic. You're hoping that the mechanic doesn't just decide one day, he never had any experience, and decided, I'm going to try to replace their transmission for them today. I see that anxious look, Marcy. Because there are things that take preparation. Memorization. We expect that surgeon to memorize certain things about the way the body works, right? We don't want them to be checking textbooks while our heart's open and going, oh, I don't remember this one. Let me find that page somewhere in this 3,000-page book somewhere. We don't want that. Why is it that we choose to try to go through life as challenging and as difficult as this life is without preparing to be able to handle it and walk through it the right way? And so we need to prepare. What do we need to do to prepare? Well, first, we need to study the Bible. And we might say, well, I don't know how studying the Bible is going to necessarily help me make the right choices, at least not all of them. Well, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. You hear that? This is throughout the day that we're studying it and thinking about it. Why? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in this book. Why? For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. No, this does not mean the prosperity gospel that if you just follow the Bible, you'll have a mansion and a seven-figure income. But it does mean that our lives will be better if we learn, and we have to learn, memorize, and study, and apply the teachings of the Word of God. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Isn't that awesome? Making wise the simple. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This document that we call the Bible is a very complex document. And it is filled with all kinds of literature. It's filled with poetry. It's filled with literal language. It's filled with all kinds of things in it. And we have to learn to study it respectfully because I don't know about you. Can anybody quote to me Leviticus 19, verse 6? Okay, so a lot of you don't know everything that the Bible has to say right now. We need to study it constantly to be able to understand the depths that are there. And I still, to this day, as I study it, I'm still, Joyce, do you not find this to be true? I study it to this day after years and years of study, and still I'm amazed at what's there. It's wonderful. There's depths there. There's riches unfounded. They're constantly advising us, and we miss out on how to walk through this life with wisdom when we fail to study the Word of God. We just hope that when things come crashing around us, we're just going to rely on that statement that Jesus said that he'll give us the words to say. Listen, he also inspired Paul to write, study to show yourself approved. Now, he might give us mercy, and that's in the context of persecution. He might give us mercy to be able to bail us out of that circumstance. But many times we fail to make the right choices because we don't know what they are, because we don't study the word. Secondly, to prepare, we need to learn from others. This one is tricky for some. And part of the reason why it's tricky is because we tend to be out of balance with it. Some lean so heavily on that all I need is the scripture, and I don't need to hear anything from anybody else. And while, yes, the scripture is infallible, however, the scripture also tells us things like Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. It's why we have in the New Testament church the offices of teachers and those who exhort and those who shepherd, pastor, and those who lead, because we learn from one another. And so we need to learn to learn from people. And part of that is because, and I'm going to go a little out of order here. If you want to skip down to number two, management, I'm going to take that top one, letter A. This is part of the reason we need to understand the way we work. This is part of the reason why we need to listen and learn from others. Part of it is because Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man. Now, I'll think about this for a moment. This person truly believes this is the right thing to do. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Again, have you ever made a decision you regretted? Have you ever made a choice and everything fell apart in the process? We have a tendency to get it wrong. And because of that, we need to humbly admit that I need other people in my life, and I certainly need to study the Word of God because I have a tendency to get it wrong. Also, number three under that A, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. He has to tell us that because we tend to trust our understanding over his. And we might think that we don't, but here's the way it works. He tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, right? But we assemble together when we come to church and we don't see anything happening with it. And sometimes the people at that church hurt us and hurt our feelings and do things wrong. And so we, in our own understanding, that doesn't work. Going to church doesn't do me good. And so I know God's saying that I should go to church, but I'm going to rely on my own understanding. I need to find a different way because this isn't working. We've tried praying and asking God. Jesus tells us, ask whatever you wish, and he will give us. And we ask him to resolve this issue and take care of this issue, and it's not getting resolved. And what do? Do we trust God in that? Or we decide, well, I'm going to have to find some other way to make this happen. Because it's not working doing that. And that's when we decide to lean on our own understanding versus his. And we have to realize we have a tendency to do that. We have a tendency to not trust him, but to trust ourselves. And I don't even know why we trust ourselves. Seriously, if we were to pay attention to the history of our choices in our lives, we're not that smart. We can't figure it out half the time. We need help. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. You see, what arrogance is thinking that we can figure it out on our own. Arrogance is to think that we have it all together enough to choose the right things. And it's that person who chooses destruction because they don't have the insight, not only that the Word of God gives, but also the people that are in their lives. And we have to learn from one another, because here's the thing. I don't know about you. I've had people who have studied their Bible their whole lives tell me things, and I'm thinking, which Bible were you reading? Because I don't understand why you think that when it clearly says the opposite in the book. Have you ever had that before? And it's because of that issue of we have a tendency to get it wrong even when we study the Bible. We have a tendency to interpret it incorrectly, apply it incorrectly, use it incorrectly. And so when we join things like the discussion group on Wednesday nights, or we have conversations with other Christians about what we're reading, we hear what their take is on it, and we see what somebody else is saying, and we look back at it again, and we realize, oh, I was kind of missing this. And we lose out on that insight when we decide, I'm going to figure this out all on my own. And we move towards the path of destruction. However, there is a danger in listening to others, because that person you're listening to is every bit is not that bright as you are. And every bit is self-centered and every bit is flawed. So the things that come out of their mouth also can be an issue. And that's why the verse I read when we started the service, Psalm 1, verse 1 and 3, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. I want to remind us that there's a specific advice not to listen to, but we're invited to listen to other advice. Okay, so it's not that we shouldn't learn from anybody. It's that we need to discern the things that we're hearing. And how do we do that? Nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Which means that flat stomach isn't coming tomorrow. Sorry to let you know. And its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. And so when I seek the advice of others, and I'm a part of two pastor groups that I often will seek their advice from. On Wednesday nights, I learn from those that are a part of that group as well. And I have a friend that I meet with weekly, every other week. I have counsel in my life. And in fact, Proverbs 15:22 says, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. But every bit of advice I hear, I'm always thinking about what I've learned in the Scripture and whether or not that's correct, whether or not that's biblical, not by my own opinion, but what I see in the Word of God. And I can't filter that if I am not overly familiar with the Word of God. And so we study, and then we learn from others. But what are we trying to learn from others? Well, Proverbs 11, verse 14 says, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. You know, that's, you know, so if you hang out with a surgeon, you'll be capable of doing surgery. I'm teasing. But there is an effect when we, the people, that's why it says bad company corrupts good morals. There is an effect when we hang around those who have wisdom to offer us. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. Part of what we're trying to learn is what mistakes to avoid. And so when we're learning from the Scripture and learning from others, and there's a lot of warnings in Scripture, isn't there, about the things we should not do that are destructive. And so we're looking to learn from others, what are things that I shouldn't be doing? And I've worked with a lot of people that are older. I'm not referring to you guys. You guys are all real young. Thank you. And not everybody's in this camp, but one thing that I've learned from people that are older is that people don't prepare to retire. And I've learned it because of how many people enter that phase of life and they can't afford to live. And they were thinking that if I just dieted for one day, I'd have a flat stomach. It doesn't work that way. It takes planning and preparation and saving. And I've learned I don't want to make that mistake. And so I need to start thinking and learning from their mistakes, because I know experience is the best teacher, but it doesn't always have to be our experience. Sometimes we can watch the way other people fell flat on their face and say, I need to take note of that because I don't want to fall flat on my face like that person did. And we learn from others how to not fail. But we also, Proverbs 15:22, and I quoted that a moment ago, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. We want to look to see how to succeed at the things that we endeavor to exceed at. And here's again the balance to this with the word and with the advice of others. The word is meant to be the foundation with which we built the way we view this world and the way we approach it and the way we evaluate it. But it wasn't meant to hold all information, because listen, if that doctor who was ready to do your surgery said, I didn't go to medical school, I read the Bible, and I'm ready to carve you up, would you think that's good enough? The Bible's sufficient for all of my needs, and so I'm sure he's going to do just fine. No, we want him to learn how to do surgeries, and the Bible doesn't tell us how to do surgeries. The Bible doesn't tell us how to do plumbing, and it's not because the Bible is insufficient. It's because of what the Bible's purpose is. The Bible's purpose is to show us how to receive life, eternal life from the Lord, and how to live for him and honor him and how to understand who he is. The Bible might give us ethics on how to operate in those professions and in those things, but it doesn't give us all those details, and that's why Proverbs tells us if we can get wisdom and we can get insight, we can get knowledge, we can get understanding, pursue it like it's jewels, go after it. And the person who doesn't learn how to be a good husband from good husbands and from the Word of God fails. The person who doesn't learn how to be a good father or mother by studying the Word of God and learning from others, they block out good wisdom and insight from their lives, and they fail because they didn't get ready. And I'll tell you, my wife will tell you, from day one, I was the most amazing husband you would ever find because I read 13 books about marriage. It actually did make me better, but you're still going to mess things up even if you do get ready. But then we need to think strategically, and I've kind of already referred to this a little bit, but a couple of ways we think strategically initially: to plan for likely events and be thoughtful about your resources. Listen to this, Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. Now, how does he do that? He does that because he thinks about, I'm going to die someday, and they won't have my source of income, and so I'm going to do something to make sure that they have some help when I lose that income and when I'm gone. He's thinking about the future and what will likely happen. And I have good news for you. You might not know this. It's a guarantee you're going to die someday. And we need to be prepared for that because there are responsibilities that we have. Jesus referred to this in Luke about if you desire to build a house, that person must first sit down and count the cost, whether or not he has enough to make that house. Or Proverbs 21:20 says, precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it. Proverbs 27, thank you for that applause, whoever's phone that was. Proverbs 27:23, know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds, for riches do not last forever, and does a crown endure to all generations. Some of you own houses, and the longer you own that house, at some point that roof is going to need to be replaced. I hear that laugh, Linda. We have furnaces that are getting older, and someday we're going to want that furnace to work. And we know it's coming, right? We have cars that we know someday we're going to take it to the mechanic and they're going to say, there's nothing I can do. And we want that car to be able to get around. And if we know it's coming, because I think most of us, what we do is, I know it's coming, I'm just going to be like an ostrich, so throw my head in the sand and just hope it never comes. And then I'm always shocked. People are always shocked when it comes. People are always surprised that Christmas comes and they need to buy gifts. Like, I had no idea that this was going to be coming. I didn't know that. You're supposed to, I mean, how do I have enough money to do this? I don't know how I'm supposed to have enough money to do this. Because you decide that, well, I know that I'm going to have to replace that car someday, so I'm going to start saving now. I'm going to save a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. And you know what's frustrating to me? Is that I will do the work, and I will watch other people go out and spend money like it's nothing, and go out and have fun on the town and do all the things that they want to do, and I'm not doing those things. Why? Because I know I got to replace this car someday, and I'm not rich. I can't just easily replace cars, so I'm saving. And then when I go and buy that replacement car because the other car is shot, you know what people start to think of me? Well, he's got it lucky. Must be lucky if you can afford to buy a car like that. It has nothing to do with luck. It has to do with whether or not I'm making choices to get ready for what I know is coming in the future. We can do that financially, we can do that relationally, we can do that spiritually. Am I getting ready? Am I doing the things now that will result in a better set of circumstances in the future? And that's where this comes into play, the determination to patiently establish habits based on likely outcomes. And it's patiently, because I'm telling you, you saving $50 a month is not going to get you ready to buy a brand new car in a year. You saving $50 a month is going to get you ready at some point. It builds up. Or if nothing else, what I've learned, some emergency happens that you didn't plan for. Guess what? You want that for the car, but you have that sitting there because you've been saving. And those sit-ups, if you want that flat stomach, which is really easy to do, by the way, getting a flat stomach. Yeah. You got to start taking care of your body, right? I can't just decide that I'm going to skip ice cream for one meal and expect to have good health. I have to decide today that I'm going to do things that will result in a better future. However, one bit of caution, Proverbs 19:21 says this, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. It is good to live according to God's principles, and often it will reap a benefit. What does that say in Galatians? We reap what we sow. So it is good to do that. But sometimes the person who takes very good care of their body still ends up suffering a heart attack. It's just the way that life is that sometimes those things happen. Sometimes the person does everything right in their relationships and still has conflicts and broken relationships. It's just the way that things happen sometimes. Sometimes we pray and ask God and serve Him faithfully and get involved in the body of Christ and we study His Word and we still encounter suffering. That's just, Jesus didn't deny that. He said, in this world, you will have trouble or suffering, right? And so we need to serve God because here's the question. Am I serving the Lord only so that I have better health, better emotional well-being, a better set of financial circumstances, better relationships, or am I serving Him because I want to honor Him with my life? And sometimes He tells us to pick up our cross and bear it. And I need to be willing to, what was the point of all that work back there? The point of it was I was seeking to honor the Lord. And so if I didn't gain anything extra because of that, I am still going to be faithful to serve Him, even though right now I'm suffering physically, emotionally, financially. And I'm not going to look at the other people who have it better than me, and say that, how dare they? I can't believe that. No, I'm going to trust that whatever God's lot is for me, I'm going to walk in that, and I'm going to walk in that faithfully. That's not easy. But we need to learn if we're going to have better futures, at least our eternal one, we need to learn how to get ready. We also need to learn how to manage. We already mentioned the understanding yourself. Anybody impulsive? Is anybody here impulsive? Yeah, some of you? Ever done an impulse buy? Ever done an impulse buy and you didn't realize you couldn't return it? When we do things impulsively, we tend to not do things so wisely. And so a lot of times the impulses are instinctive. Sometimes they're survival instinctive. They're meant to help us out, but they need to be regulated. And the way we regulate that is we need to ask a few questions. The first is Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. So I need to ask, am I being thoughtful about this or instinctive? Before I move forward and act, before I say that thing that is so wise and smart and everybody needs to hear, I need to ask myself, did I think about this before I said it? Or am I just reacting by impulse? Secondly, and I won't read this for the sake of time, but I encourage you to read James 3, those verses there in 2 Peter 1. He tells us the kind of wisdom that is from God versus the kind of wisdom that's earthly. And the wisdom from God exudes certain positive characteristics and traits like the fruit of the Spirit. And the wisdom that is from the world are ones that exhibit like anger and bitterness and selfishness and all of those kind of things. And before I act, I need to ask myself, what type of heart is this coming from? This decision, this thing I'm about to say, what kind of heart am I doing this in? Then I need to ask, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. You know what that means? That every time we choose to sin, we had the ability to choose not to. Not that it wasn't easy or hard, but we had the ability. And so I need to ask, am I being honest about my evaluation of my choice here? Because so many times people choose sin, and they say, I had no choice. You know, all these circumstances were here, it was too hard, I had no choice. If we say that, we're not being honest about what's actually there. We can say it's hard, but it's not impossible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. I need to ask myself, have I considered how this will affect others before I make this choice? 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I need to ask myself, will this make God happy with me? Before I watch this, drink that, say that, look at this, I need to ask myself, will God be pleased with me when I do it? Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I need to ask, am I prioritizing the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, when I make this choice? When I choose that job that's going to pay more but will restrict me from being able to be involved in Christian fellowship? I need to ask myself, did I prioritize God's kingdom when I made this choice? Then James 1:5, all kinds of, I love it. Everybody's let me know that they're happy with me by their devices. For James 1:5, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Have I asked God to help me? I'm amazed at how many times I forget this. I'm trying to do the right thing, and I'm trying hard. And it's not going well. I'm like, I just need to try harder. I'm trying to be faithful. I'm trying to do this, Lord. I'm trying to do it right. And then all of a sudden it dawns on me, I didn't ask him to help me. And we might think, well, doesn't he want to help us? Yes, but you have not because you ask not. And I'm amazed at how many times when I'm just, it's like I'm trying to bulldoze through a brick wall. And I finally stop and ask, Lord, please help me. Help me to figure out how to do this. Help me have the strength to do this. Show me the way. And sometimes almost instantaneously it changes and the wall comes down because I asked the Lord. Lastly, and worship team, if you'd come and get ready to lead us. Lastly, Proverbs 10:4, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Proverbs 24:33 and 34, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. As much as we need to prepare ourselves and get ready and study and all of those things, at some point we have to choose to do something. We're complaining about our financial situation. Well, then at some point we need to decide to do something. Go out and get another job. Get more income. Start saving. Start budgeting. Start restricting. Do something. We complain about our health. At some point, we need to start doing something. I know some people who just lay around all the time, and they complain about how their body's breaking and falling apart. because they won't do something. God didn't design us to just sit around and wait for him to just show up and lift us up like a puppet and move us along. He wants us to walk in the things that bring life and health and prosperity and blessing. And if I'm struggling and my faith isn't well, or if I'm struggling with some sin and I'm not acting against it and doing something about it, the person who fails to study the Word of God and to pray and seek his face and to avoid sin and to live out the mission that he's called us to live out, that person has no right to complain about their spiritual condition because they didn't plant themselves in the place that brings life. Will you stand with me? Worship team, well, you're there already. I already asked you. We can complain, and listen, I get it. Sometimes circumstances are outside of our control. So I'm not blaming our circumstances on ourselves unless. Many times, it's our own fault. Many times our trouble and our circumstances, we did it to ourselves. Because we chose not to know. We'd rather be ignorant than to know. We ignored it. And we didn't act upon the teachings so that we didn't even know them. And so my question for you this morning, are you upset about your circumstances? The way your marriage is, your household is, your health, your faith? Are you frustrated with your circumstances this morning? Well, have you contributed to them? Have you failed to contribute to them getting better? Do you want a better future? Do you want things to be better for you? Today I set before you a blessing and a curse. Choose which one you want. He gives us the choice. And so I'm going to invite you to come and seek him at your will. And this will be our dismissal. So if you feel the Lord's done with you and it's time to go, that's fine. But if you know deep in your heart that there's some things you got to straighten out with God because you're disgruntled, you're frustrated, and in many ways, you've done nothing about it. And it's time to get to work. It's time to start getting ready. And it's time to start to seek him. He wants to give you every bit of blessing. Doesn't he say that? Doesn't he say that if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Father want to give good things to you? And so as the worship team leads us, continue to seek him, worship him, or come down right to these altars and let him do a work in your life this morning. I love you. God bless you. Let's seek him today.